resources and energy. Thank you, Chair, for inviting our Honourable Minister to the meeting. And as a president of the Health Helpline, I would like to first express the apology for my Honourable Minister. As you all know, that this is a cabinet day today, this morning, and the Minister had to attend to the cabinet, and he's not with us this morning. Chair, you have outlined the process. This is a constitutional mandate, and we appreciate the committee for inviting us to reflect on the amendment as stated on the invite. We hope this will be a very good presentation, Chair. The purpose as we have also outlined it in the opening remarks, but also provide some background information for the benefit of the committee members on our agreement with Euratom. But not just the agreement, but also to reflect on the strategic importance of why we have the agreement with Euratom and for the country and for the department, what have they identified the benefits for us being one of the member states of this particular arrangement. We also reflect on the implementation plan that we are having with the Euratom, but most importantly, Chair, we also reflect on the recommendations that we are making. With me, Chair, it's as you have indicated, it's Agent Kwena, also with the team that is responsible for the nuclear related activities within the department on behalf of government, TPG Mbamu, will then lead on the technical presentation of the committee. With your permission, Honorable Chairperson, I would like to hand over to TPG.
Honorable Chairperson and Honorable committee members and colleagues, DJ Nkwana and DJ Zulu, good morning. I would like to make a presentation on the agreement between the Republic of South Africa and the European Atomic Energy Community, the Euratom, for the cooperation in the peaceful uses of nuclear energy. Our presentation provides an outline which we will deal with the purpose, the background of the Euratom agreement, the strategic importance, and the implementation plan, and the recommendations of the agreement. And as far as the purpose of this briefing, we are here to brief the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources and Energy on the Euratom agreement, and also to make a recommendation to recommend the approval of the agreement between the European Atomic Energy Community, which is Euratom, and the Government of the Republic of South Africa for the cooperation in the peaceful uses of the nuclear energy in Parliament in terms of Section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution, as the Chairperson has already indicated that this is a constitutional requirement in terms of the procedure of making sure that the agreement gets ratified. As a matter of the background, South Africa signed the cooperation agreement with the European Atomic Energy Commission, Euratom, in July 18, 2013. We have attached the agreement as Annex A for ease of reference to the members of the committee so that the committee can get a full background into what the agreement entails. As part of the process, then the agreement was then presented in Cabinet in December 2018. On the 5th, Cabinet approved that the agreement between the European Atomic Energy Community and the Government of the Republic of South Africa for the cooperation in the peaceful uses of nuclear energy for tabling in Parliament in terms of Section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution. The Euratom has 27 member states. We have provided for ease of reference a list as Annex B of the 27 member states that fall within the Euratom committee. We request the members to make reference to Annex B to see the list. Euratom aims to pursue nuclear research and training activities while improving on nuclear safety. And the main aim of the agreement is to further expand and deepen the mutual beneficial economic, scientific, and technical cooperation between the Republic of South Africa and the Euratom. And in particular, the agreement aims to facilitate the participation of the South African research entities in the research projects carried out in the framework of the Euratom, and also ensure the reciprocal participation of the research entities from the Euratom and the member states of the Euratom in research that is taking place in South Africa in the similar areas. Among the key areas that the cooperation seeks to facilitate is in the area of research and development in the field of nuclear energy, including fusion technology, the use of nuclear materials and technologies, such as the application in the health and the research in the agriculture. As honorable members would note, South Africa, we are one of the leading countries in the production of radioisotopes, which are used for medical purposes. The other key area is in the transfer of nuclear materials and equipment. In the area of nuclear safeguards, in the area of nuclear safety, radioactive waste and spent fuel management, the decommissioning, the radiation protection, including the emergency preparedness and response. In terms of the modalities of how the cooperation will be undertaken, under this agreement, it may be undertaken in the following forms. Supply of nuclear material and non-nuclear materials, equipment and related technologies, the provision of nuclear fuel cycle services, establishment of working groups if necessary to implement specific studies and project areas of scientific research and technological development, the exchange of experts in scientific and technological information, organization of scientific seminars and conferences, training of administrative, scientific and technical personnel, consultation on the research and the technological issues, and performing joint research under the agreed programs between the parties. The cooperation activities in promoting nuclear safety and other forms of cooperation as may be determined by the parties in writing. The agreement is a tool that will be used to create a foundation for the cooperation between South Africa and the Euratom in the field of nuclear energy for peaceful uses. The agreement includes countries with advanced nuclear programs and have knowledge and expertise in management of radioactive waste, that is in the Euratom member state. Among the countries that we are citing is France and Belgium, which already have structures in place to deal with the management of radioactive waste, and such as having the fund. The honorable members will note that South Africa is currently developing the fund bill, which seeks to ensure that we will have a mechanism for ensuring sustainable funding to the NRAD, which is an institute that's responsible for management of waste on a national basis. So we see the cooperation with Euratom creating opportunities that we can share knowledge, because we already have the knowledge and the infrastructure. In other countries, obviously, that we are mentioning there is Finland, which is constructing a disposal site for the spent fuel. This is one of the areas that South Africa identify as key in terms of management of radioactive waste as a long-term solution that we believe we will benefit as a country through this cooperation. And there is also, as we have mentioned, a list of these 27 countries which, in our view, present an opportunity for South Africa's research institutions to participate in research programs. Similarly, with the European countries participating in research programs in South Africa. So it's a mutual and beneficial on both parties, as we see it. Then, in terms of process, the agreement, we have consulted widely within the government and the state-owned entities to make sure that the various needs and the views are taken into account during the negotiation of the agreement. Some of the institutions that were consulted involved the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation, which is NERCSA, which is an entity of government that's responsible to undertake research and development in the area of nuclear as well as radiation technology. Then we've also consulted the government departments to get the views as to how the agreement impacts on the various mandates. Among those, DPE, Department of Science and Technology, National Treasury, and the Department of Mineral Resource. That is before the merger of the two departments, so we had to consult because this agreement also has got an impact on the mandate. Now that the department is going to merge, it creates even a much more synergy in terms of consulting amongst ourselves in the department to make sure that the agreement presents a value for South Africa. And then also as part of the consultation, we've consulted the state law advisor of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development. This is in view to get the state law advisor to review the agreement to determine that it's in compliance with the domestic legislation, and we've got an opinion that this agreement is in line with our domestic laws. Similarly, we've also consulted the state law advisor in the Department of International Relations and Cooperation International Law. Similarly, as honorable members would note, South Africa has got international obligations in terms of our being members in various conventions and treaties that govern the use of nuclear technology and nuclear for peaceful purposes. And we sought an opinion from the Chief State Law Advisor, and they advised that this agreement is in line with our international obligation as a country. And broadly also, we then consulted the agreement with the International Cooperation Trade and Security Cluster of Cabinet, and as well as Cabinet, as we've already indicated to the committee that this agreement was presented in Cabinet on the 5th of December, wherein Cabinet approved that the agreement be tabled in Parliament in terms of the Section 2, 3.1, Subsection 2 of the Constitution. As far as the the plan of action now, what happens with this agreement, is that an instrument of ratification will be deposited with a depository. The depository, honorable members, is the Euratom, with the assistance of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. We've now learned the Euratom internal procedures have been completed, and they are ready to begin the negotiations on the administrative arrangements after the Republic of South Africa has completed its internal procedures for ratification of the agreement. The ratification is a process that now enables the agreement to be binding after all our domestic processes have been completed, and this is one step, as the chairperson has indicated in the opening remarks. And as far as the recommendations are concerned, it is recommended that Parliament approves the agreement between the European Atomic Energy Community and the Government of the Republic of South Africa for the cooperation in the peaceful uses of nuclear energy in terms of Section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution. I thank you.
Thank you, DDG. Chair, that's the brief presentation as requested, and also to comply with the process that we've outlined as part of our application to go through this process that is required by the constitution of our country. I must, though, Chair, emphasize that this should not also be confused with an existing international atomic energy agency, which South Africa is also part of, but this one is the European one, which we also have here. But also, Chair, important maybe to note that South Africa is one of the, in fact, at the moment, is the only country on the continent that has nuclear facilities in the continent, and there are certain obligations and certain principles of compliance that internationally we are obliged to comply with, and this process assists us to make sure that those sites, from particularly a safety point of view, are well managed. I think for now we can safely say that South Africa has been doing well up to date because of the limitations that are imposed on us and the manner in which to date we've complied. But we'll keep the committee posted on all developments as and when required. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Honorable members, Honorable Phillips, Honorable Mailan, Honorable Formaran, Honorable Phillips.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to the committee. I would just like to find out the development fund bill. When is it accepted? Thanks very much.
Chairperson, it's very difficult to comment on an agreement that I don't have in front of me. I know that everybody else seems to have a copy of the agreement, but I don't. And I think Honourable Phillips doesn't, and it wasn't part of the email that you received. So I haven't had a chance to peruse the agreement, and I feel that that is a flaw in the process that we need to address. You know, if we're going to get a document in committee, we need to have time to actually read the document and understand the document. But be that as it may, I do have a couple of questions that arise from the presentation. The first is a note on, let me just see the slide number here, slide 6. The first bullet point is the supply of nuclear material and non-nuclear materials, equipment and related technologies. And I'd really like to understand what that means. What nuclear materials we will be supplying, materials we will be receiving and how that impacts on the strategic security of our nuclear programs in South Africa. I'd also like to understand what is meant by the provision of nuclear fuel cycle services. Then, on slide 7, could you just unpack the bullet points about France and Belgium? You talk about structures in place to deal with management of radioactive waste, such as a fund. I'd like to understand what you're trying to achieve with that, what the purpose is, and what will be the outcome there. And then also the next one, construction for a disposal site for spent nuclear fuel. We already have a disposal site for spent nuclear fuel. Is this a new one? What is meant by that particular item? Are we going to be bringing in expertise? Are we exporting expertise? What is the purpose of that? And then my last question is with regard to the consultations. There's one entity that has not been consulted here, as far as I can see, and that is the National Nuclear Regulator. Have their opinions been sought on this agreement, and if not, why? Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Honourable Gumaran.
My Chair, I also welcome the presentation and the intention, and I just want to find out, Chair, and perhaps up front, excuse my ignorance, the European Atomic Energy Community, vis-a-vis the South African nuclear environment, where does it leave us? Everything according to the contract, the articles are supposed to be for peaceful use, disposal, exchange of expertise and so forth. Where does it leave us in the world, apart from what we have signed long time ago, for not going into the enrichment part of it and the other? Where does it leave us with the other superpowers, where we have on a daily basis America, Russia, the Koreans and so on, with their nuclear environment, and it seems that's where a lot of play is, the geopolitical environment with regard to this. Where does this type of agreement leave us as South Africa in that way?
Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I would like to agree with the Honourable Maynam that it's very difficult to read or to comment on something that seemingly has been sent, and we are seeing it now that it has been sent on the previous email. And we're interacting because the email that came said, please find a size presentation for I'm sure Honorable Mailer has not found it as yet, as we speak. So it becomes very difficult. I would think that this is an important agreement. It needs us to really, and I can see you are seeing it for the first time as well, because you are assisted there. So I would plead that we probably need to be given time to go back and read it.
You're still going to answer the question, JMRB. You are not exempted. Honorable Mashamu, you're speaking on my behalf when he is confronted by lack of adaptation to the fourth industrial revolution. You need to make an accomplice to go. I get the case. Honorable Leila and Honorable Phillips, this report or document was sent on Monday. I'm trying to check the time. At 13:20, they go directing. First one, it says, leave after, find attached following documents for the meeting. For 18 February 2020, notice of a meeting. For second, then number two is presentation from DMRB. For 19 February 2020, Eurotom agreement, minutes of the 03 December 2019, minutes of 11 February 2020, that is written. I understand the challenge. You've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 attachments. And unfortunately, that Eurotom agreement is on the third, but it doesn't come as the agreement until you page through. It's only the letter written by the minister to the speaker of the National Assembly. So only when you go past that letter, you then start to see the agreement. Now, that's why I'm saying I understand the challenge that honorable members have. And the point that I assume, and I must believe you are pleading, that it's an error that we made, and I can't force you, obviously, as you say, to debate and agree and disagree on a matter, and tomorrow you will say, no, we just agreed, but we are under duress. I think that members say, give us a chance. Let's go back and relook at this document and then come back to the committee and commit ourselves in an agreement or a disagreement, or in an agreement in disagreement at the same time, either way. But I think we still have to, it might help also the committee that when you read the agreement, you've got a sense of what the department is presenting. I think I would allow that honorable members will, but we must also understand this is one of the most hectic committees. Anything that we postpone might find a long way to come back again, and I don't think we. So it actually means honorable members must be prepared that if it means we must tackle this after evening, the afternoon, we will reconvene the committee in the afternoon of whatever day just to deal with this matter and dispense it. It may not be on the actual schedule of the committee meetings. It may just be a special meeting that we'll organize specifically to now deal with the subject. But having said so, DMRE, Chair, we apologize for the confusion on the documents, and we will avail ourselves to view this at any time, Chair, once more present to the committee. Chair, I will ask my team to respond to the technical issues that have been raised by honourable members, but maybe just to reflect on the issue that has been raised by Honourable Bamaran's regarding how do we interact with other superpowers that are basically more advanced or more involved in the nuclear space internationally. We actually enter into different sets of agreements with different nuclear organizations internationally, as I've made the reference earlier on, as part of ensuring that South Africa complies with international obligations, since the facilities of nuclear nature are managed through international obligations, particularly with regards to safety. The department in the past has entered into different agreements with also countries, as we have defined them, America, Russia. We're also looking into Japan. To enter into similar agreements with them. Of course, the content may not be necessarily the same because countries are advanced differently later on. But we do officially engage with them. At some point, if you remember, when we wanted to do a new build program, and we went on a very comprehensive international roadshow to interact with the countries that are involved in this particular area. All the countries we have mentioned, the majority of them were also consulted, and some agreements were entered into them. As a matter of fact, Chair, in terms of the court order, we will be bringing some of those agreements back to Parliament for ratification as well, as we were ordered by the court. So the similar process of what we're doing here will also be doing in relation to all agreements that exist with the countries that are involved in the nuclear area.
And then leave it at that and ask TTG member to respond to some of the questions that were raised by the honourable members. Thank you, DG and the Chairperson and the honourable members. The questions that were raised related to the honourable member Bailan regarding slide number 6 on the supply of nuclear material. I think it's important for the honourable members to note that South Africa, we are already having nuclear facilities that use the nuclear fuel, and we are not producing or fabricating fuel in the country. So we import this fuel from different countries, and other materials that are associated with nuclear. So the fuel that we get supply of as South Africa, some of it comes from countries within the European community. The fabrication of the low enriched uranium target plates that we received from France. They are used at the NEXA in our facility for our fuel purposes. The fuel that we use for, we get this fuel from some of the countries within the European community, like France and other countries. And also, these countries also look for companies in South Africa which wants to import or export nuclear material. In terms of our legislation, any country that wants to import or export the nuclear material have to be authorized to import the nuclear material. For instance, our radioisotopes that we supply in more than 60 countries in the world. So this then provide an opportunity that we can supply our nuclear material to these countries, and we can supply them with the material for our South African needs. Then that also speaks to the commissioning, the provision of nuclear fuel services, which we've already spoke to, the enrichment services of uranium that we buy in other countries before it's fabricated into fuel that have to be supplied in South Africa. And so those type of services are done in countries that are in the European Commission. Then Honorable Mayland also raised an issue of the fund and asked what is the purpose of the fund. The countries that we highlighted already have a fund that is a mechanism for a long-term sustainability for finding radioactive waste in their jurisdiction. We in South Africa are also in the process that we've established the National Radioactive Waste Institute, and as part of the instrument, the regulatory instrument that this institute will be using is a fund deal. We are in the process of, it's a fund, we're in the process of establishing the fund deal, and it's currently being consulted with various stakeholders as to how we will ensure that there is long-term funding for the radioactive waste. So it is in that context that we believe we will learn the lessons from the countries in the European Community that have already set up this fund, and we will benchmark ourselves with those countries as we are busy setting up our fund in South Africa. Then there was a question around whether the NNR has been consulted. It is a standard practice that we consult broadly all the relevant nuclear entities in South Africa at the level when the agreement is consulted. And it's our view that the NNR would have been consulted also to make input in the whole agreement. But the big focus of the agreement is more directed to the research and development, which, as we put into the slides, you will see that we highlighted quite strongly the NEXA as the main entity that deals with research and development in the nuclear sector for the state. Then the issue of Finland, the construction of a disposal site for the spent nuclear fuel. This is for us a very important development, which we believe South Africa will learn from this experience, because in South Africa, as honorable members would know, the policy is that we already have a site, which is a Valcourt site in the Northern Cape, but that site is currently licensed for low and intermediate radioactive waste. In the current policy is that the high level radioactive waste or the spent fuel is kept on the site. That means it's kept at Quebec as well as it's kept at NEX, and that's the policy. But in the long term, when the spent fuel space is fully on capacity, there is a need to have a long-term storage facility, and that long-term storage facility is still having to be researched, fully characterized, and that's a responsibility that is mandated to NRADI, which is the National Radioactive Waste Institute. As part of their research work, they have to provide a long-term final disposal solution for high-level radioactive waste. And we believe that for us to then cooperate with these countries that have already are well advanced in terms of long-term radioactive waste solution on spent fuel waste, on spent fuel management, we will benefit from the lessons as when we are dealing with our long-term solution. So that's the benefit we are seeing there. Honorable Volmaran asked whether okay, DG has already dealt with the question that was raised by Honorable Member Volmaran, so I'm not continuing with that one. But there was a question that was raised around the fund deal as to how far it was raised by Honorable Member Phillips as to how far are we with the fund deal. So the fund deal is currently in the registration process. We have completed the stakeholder consultation with the entities of the government as well as the national treasury. We did submit this agreement as part of consultation with the DPME to do the social economic impact assessment of the agreement. It is now with the state law advisor. We have been consulting with the chief state law advisor so that they can assess the deal in terms of determining whether it complies with the South African legislation. We are expecting that in the financial year 2021, once we finalize the consultation and the agreement will be submitted in cabinet for approval for starting the process of consulting the stakeholders in this bill, the fund bill. So that's the process we are seeing going forward and the process we are undertaking right now as to when the consultation is on our member.
Okay.
You.
Okay. Is it you, Martin, or Martin? Between the two of you. Yeah, it's Martin. You can switch off this mic. Martin. Yeah, Sabisa. So when you come and present to the committee, and then you say, there are some others, oh, Martin, there are some others that are coming due to court processes, and you start to ask yourself, it means these members, when they ask for a break, they were correct to deal with this matter later. Because now, eagerly awaiting some of us about the other agreements that were part of the court. And it's going to be very interesting because we might be interested to know why they ended up in court. Now, I'm not saying you should not have disclosed. Thanks for your honesty. But any person, once you mention the court, we start our ears to stand up, you see, on our heads. So I'm very curious about the court part of it. The second thing, the reason I was saying what about Funzochan also, that is we are presenting some things are coming. Maybe when we deal with the agreement, you must help us. Because it's not just an agreement. It's a capability to stick to the agreement and to manage. Now I'm looking at the current state of network. Current. And I'm asking in terms of capacity and the risk if you enter such agreement. I've not dealt with the agreement in detail. If you enter such agreement, what could be the risk that are associated with failure to stick and honor the agreement? At some point, even amongst themselves, others stand up and say, well, we closed NTP, which you say is producing, simply because they were not compliant with certain minimum standards of safety when it comes to nuclear energy. Now, I'm just saying, you must have, no, not necessarily, I don't know whether the agreement is there, but the question must be in-house. Because if there are such gaps, and we have made such commitments, the argument may be as good as we wish to sound to look good outside. And we might have to look at even what are the penalties that goes with the argument and non-compliance. So I'm just saying, please, you have presented, but I have to look, be ready to lead us even on the argument itself, point by point. I understand the presentation. To me, it's more broadly. It's more of an argument. I don't want to assume that I said I need to go. I've been seeing where it says. That's why I said when you talked about the court, I then started to really make it a point that I'm really listening properly. Because any argument might have consequential clauses. You see? Because you agree. What if you agree and you don't honor or stick to the argument? What becomes consequential? So we might have to tackle that issue. But as I said, honorable members, we will try and schedule, and you will see when we even give what we have received as correspondence and what we have agreed to that, we may not have time. The last thing now, DG, it's outside, but it comes from your own mouth. Please help us. I'm sitting here. I've seen other things that were coming in. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. Please help, alert us in advance so that we can see whether we don't become a committee of legislation. I hear now you say, what is it? The fund bill. What? So, when are you anticipate it?
It's still going through the process, Honorable Chairperson, and we anticipate that by the end of the financial year 2021, it will be submitted in cabinet first to get approval for public consultation. But it's still in the process because right now we have the Chief State Law Advisor, which still have to review and agree that it's in line with the domestic legislation. We completed the process of doing the social economic impact assessment with DPME. And they're satisfied that now we can move to the next one. So we're in the phase of waiting for the comments from the Chief Speaker. So all what we're saying is our anticipation, but it's subject to all of these processes. Still have to go through the foresight class and the class of the Director General to receive all of it. So there's still a way we're still seeing the process. And all of it is dependent as to whether we are successful in one step.
Let me be fair, you are still new, you are still trying to chair. If you were a football team, I would say it would be unfair to expect you to win many more matches. So we must allow you to chair. Because we did ask this question. One of the first things we said, please help us. That's why I'm trying now to contextualize. Just in this period, what is the possibility of finding ourselves dealing with two or three or four bills from the same department? And that, I don't want to lie to the honorable member, will actually mean we have to, if it's within this financial year, 2020, 2021, it actually means what was the potential to be spent still and deal with legislation only. You've got what is there is another one that I'm just saying it's a side issue. The petroleum water, I saw it on the media. But there is another one, third one also that has so the it's fine, we will see. Okay, you are not free yet. We will give you the date when we come back again. You just have to beef up on the issue. At least you've got a sense of what members wanted to hear. But for now, I think I'm fair to say on this matter for today, you are free. But don't leave, especially the two teachers, because we still have to deal with correspondence, which I think is going to require you for your attention. Okay, honorable members, can we now go? We agree we will put this matter in abeyance, allow members to go back, familiarize themselves with the agreement, and then we will give you a date, even if it's in the afternoon, just to deal with this matter and dispose of it. Now, can we go to the minutes, please? The minutes of the 3rd December 2019. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3, page 4, page 4, when young people still have a challenge of the first, they have tried to appreciate. Any more for the minute?
I move that we adopt the minutes.
Any seconder? Will be good.
I am.
Okay.
Any matters arising? None. Minutes of the 11th February. Page 1, page 2, page 1.
Yeah,
what's it?
Yeah, being a director, I'm angry. He's been not loud, Carlos, I'm a minute, I'm a little bit of a man.
After 6 hours, I'll pass the shy point of all. Honorable Phillips.
Thank you, Chair. Could that be translated for me, please?
Which one?
The honourable member's comment, please.
No. He's saying. I told you I did in this first language. I agree. So I can deliver better. No, he's raising an issue on the minutes that when he looks on the attendance, he doesn't see the name of Honorable Newman, but he is quite convinced that Honorable Newman has been present on the meeting. Now, he then says, even on the previous meeting, he's convinced that Honorable Newman was present. So I told him that the experience I had was that there was a ruling yesterday that you can't, after 6 hours, put a point of order. Now, for him to raise a matter on the minutes that was already adopted is going to be problematic, but on these minutes of the 11th, of what we will do the correction. He locked himself out on the first one. It's not me. So he also says, I asked the authorities two, three, four, Babu Marshall reported. Okay, four.
Church, it's under discussion, so you will take it from this. But if you count the bullets, I want to go to bullet number nine. Meaning it's on page four.
Page four, yeah.
Yeah, Church, since you did English, I have read. Bullet point 4 says, if I may read the way I understand it, assets were not striped, because if they were straight, it would be double P. And striped completely means another thing. It doesn't mean what is intended to mean in the sentence. So if the second language grade that I did is correct, I would wish it to be strict as it intends to formulate a particular sentence. Like.
You are the same like me. Yeah. Yeah, it's double P. Okay. Page 5. Honorable Madam.
Chair, I don't disagree with the resolutions that are on page 5, but I don't recall us actually having that discussion. I mean, some of those things we discussed, but certainly not. I certainly don't recall us talking about Mr. Fred Aronson at any point. Maybe I'm going mad in my old age, but I don't remember it.
No, don't worry. Wait. Maybe it's because from where the chair is summarizing the meeting agreed with the farmers, amongst other things, we didn't mention the name. He said because there was a letter written to the committee as part of doing justice in the process, that person must also be given an audience. Amongst other things that we have to address. Yes, I agree, but the person who wrote the letter was Fred Aronson. But we didn't put the name. We put just something like that. There's only one correction. We didn't say we give or finance or defend, we must write to the speaker about the conduct of the CEO of Vantage Board who was invited to the committee and did not appear on the basis of the letter. Because they've already told that it doesn't see the need to appear in front of the committee because of the process under the business rescue practitioner. Okay, honorable members. Any move of the minutes? Popular good.
I move for the.
Any second? Babu Mashaul.
I second that we adopt.
Any matters arising, can we leave this issue because I'm going to go when we go to the correspondence. That matter of the demand is going to arise. Can we deal with it there? Okay. There is agreement. Honourable members, can we now go to the correspondence? Honourable members, we've got the site. We've got two correspondences. I may not read them in detail, but I think we can forward to you
that are coming from the Speaker's office. I was trying to check on my recollection whether the first one we never dealt with it as a committee. But the Secretary was convincing me that we dealt with it in September last year, September, October last year. That was the letter written by the Speaker to the Chairperson from on the issue of Optimum and Oorfontein mine business rescue processes. Now we are bringing these things because we think that these things are beginning to pile up. There was a, just to refresh the mind, but I remember the committee did resolve on the matter, but unfortunately it did not happen. Remember, we anticipated that by the end, in terms of the calendar or the program of Parliament, we were supposed to have an oversight. And subsequent to that, we were told that there will be no oversight granted because there was a compulsory house city. If I'm not mistaken, it was dealing with the issue of appropriation. So we ended up not undertaking that oversight. Two, as we're preparing to close, another one came, and we hope that by January we'll get an opportunity to have an oversight. Again, the oversight could not take place. So the issue, I don't think I'll have to repeat it. The issue, though, of Oorfontein and Optima still stands. Just to refresh members, this is about the fact that those workers at Optima and Oorfontein have not been paid. Might be correct if I'm saying since October, that year, not last year, that year, 2018, because of the rent between the business and the practitioner. So that's the letter that was referred then to the committee. The committee said we must undertake an oversight and be able to get to this matter. So it was part of our work when we were going to Mpumalanga. Then subsequently, amongst the other mandates was that we must check because there was a technical issue whether this is a commercial matter or this is a matter of public or whatever interest. But we still had, we're supposed to undertake. We have not received that a legal opinion on the other side, but it still rests with the committee. The second one, which I think I'll have to read, is from Northern Community. Written to the Speaker wrote back to me. It says an email submission has been received from Mr. Kevin Tiro on 19 November 2019, in which he raises concerns regarding the Northern Platinum Limited, Sonder Eine mine in the Chabazimbi local municipality, Waterberg district. Central to his submission, Mr. Tiro alleged that while the company has been in existence for about 30 years, the community in which it conducts its operation has never benefited anything from it. Then it says, free attached, I refer the submission to your committee for it to deal with from the perspective of its mandate. Please keep me updated of any development in this regard. Then the letter is attached. Hope you will send it to members. Now, that is what we have officially. So I tried now to dust down. We still have outstanding issues that we said. One of those is Lady Mine. Part of that decision of that we needed to be able to go to Lady Mine so that members can see themselves what we were talking about. Secondly, we needed to listen to the other person who was given the correspondence. So that matter is still outstanding. The third one, I think I was reminded by one honorable member here, is the matter of we made a commitment, Obabozulu is accused, but the MRE is here, still with another issue. There was an issue of Petro SA, which again the committee said we have to see. I don't know whether it's still there, but whether that Petro SA might be run off by itself. So, whatever I'm saying here, or whatever. So, there is that issue of Petro SA that is still outstanding. There is an issue which we said related also, we were caught by invitation. What we call radioactive waste, the one in Northern Cape, and what do you call it? I was going to say radioactive waste disposal site. Oh, yes. So I'm placing those things on our members because all of them, they are an agent. Now, with this presentation, I think it makes by all the international agreement on the it makes even, I'm not saying now more urgent, but it makes a argument for urgent. One of the things I'm not saying is going to happen, we're looking at, I've not engaged the House Chair, was whether we shouldn't look at limited chains, because I'm not sure whether now we'll ever be allowed to go on oversight. Whether we shouldn't negotiate, even if it's a team of two, that will break into two, go to do different areas, and then we can sit down and get up the report that we can see. I'm looking at that if members agree. Because, as I say, if we wait for the whole committee to go, the possibility is that we may wait and wait forever. And I'm just throwing it to the House, but obviously, as a matter now, it's minimized. But remember, the problem is that what we have, when you are given a letter from the Speaker, you must be able to come back and say, this is what I've done, we have done. So those that are also from the Speaker's office require our urgent attention. I'm just giving you a few minutes maybe to guide us as we undertake what you are looking at. Do we have to wait for the whole committee to go, or if we are allowed, can we split ourselves into two groups, or even three if the team is too much, and then be able to put things together?
To me, Chair, it doesn't matter whether it's split into teams or you don't. What matters is that as the committee, we had a plan. We drafted a plan, we adopted it. I assume it was submitted to the House Chair, the Chair of Chairs. Obviously, the program affected our program. Issues of budgets from that office may have affected our plans. Now, I don't see how it is any of our problem that we are sent letters every now and then by the Speaker's office as if we don't know what we're doing. We have a plan, and part of our plan is exactly to deal with what they think, wherever they are sitting, is urgent. We have seen that it's urgent, we have prioritized it in our program, we must execute, but what are we to do if we are told that the program is changed, you need to conform to the program of parliament, or there is no money? It's not our, there's nothing we can do about that. So, Chair, resubmit our program, including responding to the letters that they are sending, to say the committee has a plan to go and visit these problems, and then see what they respond. If the response is can't go. There's nothing we can do. As it can be as urgent as Jesus coming back. We can't do anything. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Yeah, this Jefferson indeed is very sad. Meaning that someone somewhere maybe is undermining what we are doing here. Correct, as my colleague is saying, that then looks like then what you are doing is not important. Why these other departments, they do go and do their oversight? Many of them already they did. How many times was this one of us being postponed, as correctly as you say, three times? Which does not make sense at all. We got also our own problem. We are working here. So I agree with my colleague. The chairperson or whoever decides, they must start to take us serious. Because, for example, all these issues are very serious. Last time we spoke about all these issues here, and only to find that no issue is better than the other issue. We all agreed here. No matter how I tried by all means personally to prioritize the Hilly Mining issue, but we agreed as a committee that no, all the issues are very important. There's other issues in Tolowing and all those things. And this one, that the one that for these mines which were owned by the Gupta's, these people are still not getting their pay for such a long time. Those things are very important, all of them. And they are priority. As a committee, we need to do it and get done with it. So please, Jefferson, I agree with my colleague here. I think you must rewrite to them and tell them, this thing of splitting the committee, it's neither here nor there. Why would we split? Because let's say we split now. You and the chairperson, where are you going to go? Are you going to split? Unless you're going to also split. You see? Unless you're going to also split, then it makes sense. But if you can't split, there's no way. You don't have a deputy, unfortunately. So there is no way we split any committee here. They must start to take us serious if we are doing this thing. Unless they tell us that what we are doing, they don't recognize it, as a committee, we must just as well leave it and then stay at home, just attend parliament that side. Because they don't take us serious. Because these issues are very serious. So, sorry, Chairperson, to also include something else. Maybe I'm now off-ramping, I don't know. This issue of that gentleman who's supposed to come here, the letter, to write the letter to the speaker, and then the man must come and account as well, in the issue of Lily Mine. I think also that one must be with it as well. Okay. Thank you very much, Chair.
I thought you were going to be able to get the chairperson who wanted to provide leadership in the House of Chair. Good volunteer. Honorable Maila.
Thank you, Chairperson. I do agree that we need to prioritize some of these oversight visits. I think that it's important. I understand that Parliament is in a difficult financial position and can't send committees everywhere that they want to go. I think that splitting the committee is probably a good idea, that we say five this way, five that way. It's been done in the past. We've done it for public hearings. We did it for a number of public hearings that I was involved in previous committees. And I think it is a viable option to ensure that we get the maximum oversight as far as possible. So I would be in support of splitting the committee into two groups, one group going one way, one group going another way, and seeing what is happening on the ground in those various places.
How good is it? Because you are the matter of this committee, I must say.
Thank you very much, Chair. I agree with my colleague that splitting is not a problem, and perhaps to solve the problem so that we don't need you to split, is that we can do the oversight on different days, and you can accompany both committees. But if there's only five of us attending each one, it will cut the costs down tremendously for Parliament, and we do need to show the country that we can and are willing to save costs. Thank you so much.
No, honourable members, let's make it all what I was making members aware. Committee will go with a full committee. But I was just saying, can we be flexible?
maybe when we say we go as a full committee, it might take us a much more longer time because of the numbers. But amongst other things, it's a last resort, the question of splitting. How do we deal with the management? These are others, all of them. How do we deal with the management of the committee, in the, especially the one that may not have the chairperson? Let's see what is possible. Let's see what is possible. But I agree that these things, in my view, the sooner we tackle them, the better. And we must do everything possible. I can't emphasize it more. For instance, I don't want to they are all important, but some are more important than others. Based on the report that we received, for instance, in really mind what is happening, it can't be compared to, I'm not saying in a negative way, for instance. It cannot be compared to what we want to see, because so far there is no reported crisis on the radioactive nuclear waste site. I'm just making an example. So some, I agree, they are more important. I'm sitting here even now, I hope it's resolved. I'm sure members, they've seen it even on TV. I don't know how many people have died or have been killed. The issue of RPM, that is closed. So that's why I was saying, some of these things, the sooner we check it, otherwise we'll end up with a pile of things that, exactly as members say, people will start to say, but what type of a parliament, every time we go and complain, no action, nothing happened. The fact that there is written to the speaker, there are two things, honorable members, we can't run away, I know, we must also write back to the speaker and say, we wish to attend to this matter, but this is a limitation, we will do that. But we have to be seen to be taking action when those issues are referred. Because those people, it may not be the speaker that we are talking to, it's the people who have taken time to write to the speaker. And the parliament of the people will not be responding to those people. So a response may not necessarily be much about the speaker that we could meet and convince, but people, when they are sitting, they don't understand that when they've written to the highest office of I know there's an argument whether National Assembly is parliament, but all what people know, when they've written a letter to the speaker, they've written to the highest office of parliament. Not the national, they don't take it as National Assembly. But we will do our level best. But if it needs be, I know where honorable intentions are going. So I don't have a problem with him. I know where you've been going. Honourable members, having said so, we will come back probably with, we will try and make it easy to be understood that it is urgent. We have not, and I think members also agree, we have not undertaken an oversight except what we have gone to see. By the way, you have not finished even that part, because the place in Northern Cape and Petrus in Mosaic still forms part of what we should have done that time, but because days were not equal to the ones that we wanted them to postpone. And I remember, thank you very much.
Chair, like I made a request earlier, the issue of the follow-up of that gentleman was supposed to come and account from tonight.
I thought we resolved all the matter. The letter goes to the speaker because it's why committee of parliament. Where somebody is called to parliament and did not come, we have to report to the speaker. And on the basis of that, we get guided. Maybe the speaker may say you must summon, but it's going to be difficult from a committee point of view to summon someone without the authority of parliament. And we use the parliament in inverted commas. So it still stands in the manner in which we agree on, that we will write to the speaker on the basis of the conduct of the person.
Chair, I still got a concern, a serious one. Here is the department, here is our two bridges here. can't maybe, I'm just asking, can't maybe as a committee we ask, look, sometimes of course you need to go all the way to get the other side. Can't we maybe there be a temporary plan that we as a committee we can do? Because this thing of writing a letter, you are correct. But what if this letter takes as long as Jesus doesn't come back to us? We wait and then say the letter is coming, we don't know when. They respond. I'm talking about the response from the speaker. Then it takes 2-3 years to respond to us. She's got the right to do that. Because if you write that letter, you won't give her a time frame to say, I want the answer within so time. Then we sit there forever again. Because precisely it's what that gentleman is looking for, the delaying tactic of that. So can't we maybe, I'm just asking, can't we have a plan or something, or a certain something that we can do to speed up the issue? Or maybe the department can so long withdraw the license or something like that. Anything, just to speed up this thing. Because we can't just be waiting for the letter, which we don't know when are we going to get the answer.
Can I ask you this question? I want to know what you are talking about. Do you want this committee, if we have to change that decision, just say it. Do you want this committee to go back to that person and say, we ask you to come to the committee? I want to get clarity so that the department, when it goes, if we say now we must be department, because for me, my understanding was that as a committee of parliament, we're taking a decision based on the fact that we believe that response, that correspondence reaching to the committee undermines the committee, because the person specifically was invited to the committee and said, I may not quote it now with verbatim, he believes that there is no purpose for him to be in the meeting because everything is under business rest to practitioners. That's what the power. We took a decision around what then has to be followed. The reason then we said we also wanted to hear to the other party was that when we then say the department must do this, it's simply because we have had the other party that we decided, let me not say, from an administrative point of view, we decided not to invite because of one reason. At that time, he was an interested party. Then we were dealing with people that are supposed to be accountable. Three of those was the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy now. It was the business rescue practitioners. It was the company which is Vantage Goldfields. And the Vantage Goldfields management or ownership did not pitch up based on the letter that they written, which we say is undermining. So the point then was that it did not stop the committee from taking a decision. The decision stands that the committee took. But any person who is invited in a committee, you then have, if that person doesn't appear, which is the case we are saying that, if we say, for instance, the minister must appear in front of the committee, and the minister decides not to come, we have to write to the speaker and say, we summon, as a committee want to summon, because we feel that that minister undermines the committee has been invited and did not feature. Unfortunately, that's the procedure. Now, we can only change that decision and say, no, the department must go and beg this guy to come and tell us 1, 2, and 3, which, in my view, I would feel much more embarrassed that with the authority vested in me, I must go and kneel down and say, yeah, suppose if you didn't want to come, can you please now come? So I'm saying, it doesn't nullify the decision of the committee. This specifically relates to someone that has undermined the committee when it invited him into this. So it's not about the decision of the decision stands. So that's why I said, please help us, because we're talking about somebody who did not appear when the committee invited.
Yes, my help. What would you help, Chairperson? Here is my help. I'm saying, I understand all the logistics that you just said. We are a committee. We had to follow the logistics that we are told with. I agree. I'm part of that committee. But this is a department. They are not the committee, they are the department. They are not portfolio committee. The Department of Mineral Resources and Energy, they are here. Then we are saying, because here we want to get a solution. They are not us. They can do what they can do. They can do what we can't do. So, by asking them, of course I understand that you are full of the fees, but this is not about that. This is about just asking them, have they the right even to revoke the license if I'm correct? Why can't they do something on their own as a department, not as the mayor, so that it can speed up everything, so that the man there can see that we are here, we mean business. We, the committee, and the department.
Can I help you, Professor?
Sure.
So that we separate the issue. There is a decision that we said, that's the decision of the committee. So let's not confuse the public with the decision. The decision of the committee, amongst others, say, they should be searching for the 47. They should go because we will call them when we have met now fully with the family and this second guy. We said they must then go and look at section 47, whether section 47 is better, is not better than what they were suggesting to say it will take longer. We said you don't have proof. So section 47, what you talk about is what they were given a right to go and consider. So it's separate. The issue that is going to be speaker is the appearance or the non-appearance of someone invited by the committee. So even if they can't, if that process, probably even if we were to go there and assume it will work, it might be more longer than we anticipate. Like they were saying that if you revoke, for instance, the license, I'm not saying, I'm not speaking on their behalf, but if we wait for, instead of taking action, wait for them to go and look at applying 1347. They may even come back here and say, legally, when we look at it, there is 1, 2, and 3. We want them, when we deal with them as a department, we will deal with them on their performance of what they were supposed to do as a performance. But I want us to separate. You are supposed to appear, the committee invites you, you decide not to do so, then we are following what Parliament says we must do. Can we leave it at that, Honourable Members? Honourable Madam, do you want to come in?
No, Chair, not on this point, except if you finished with the program.
Okay, I'm done with the program.
Thank you, Chair.
Let's hear from you.
Chair, so my question is this. A while back, I submitted a PIA application for the exploration and production sharing agreement with South Sudan from the Strategic Field Fund. And this committee suggested or resolved, I'm not sure what the exact, but that it should have come from the committee rather than from me in my individual capacity, and that the committee would follow up on that document. That was several months ago. That was in October last year, and to date I have seen nothing. Now, my point is that there are legal processes that PIA initiates, and I'd like to know whether or not you have heard anything, if not, what can be done about it, and when we can expect to see that information.
Let me, I'll go back and check on the resolution. But my understanding of the resolution was there was an exchange of correspondence between Honorable Mailam and Mr. Moach,
yeah,
requesting any information. Now that matter in the process arises in the committee. My understanding was that the committee resolution was that because the matter has risen in the committee cannot deny, but it never requested the information. But it can't deny that the matter was raised in the committee. That Mr. Moache, when he responded, was said, yes to honor what he agreed with you, but it's between two people. He has to agree, but because the matter is raised in the committee, he will have to share that information also with the committee. But I don't think there's anything wrong, we will ask them, but the point was that if I raise it, I will already tell them, if something is raised in a committee, let's assume you write a letter, just make an example to Advocate Mukwe. Can I get information 1, 2, 3? What Advocate Mukwena doesn't say, and must be, I'm making it, Advocate Mukwena then must stand up and say, no, but
Honorable Lamba, that matter was between me and you, not with the committee. I will say we can talk after this meeting. The problem, Mr. Mwahe responded in the meeting and explained processes amongst others why he had not submitted them. The committee couldn't pretend as if that meant. That's how I understand, but I can go back and check the resolution. The fact of the matter is that if it's in the minutes, it actually means the committee also is aware of the matter. But to the best of my knowledge, he still had to respond to you and then submit, give, because of raising the committee, give it to the committee. But I think we can find modalities on how to handle this.
Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. Kevin, what about that?
No, Chair. Can I suggest that you go back to the resolution before you act, because it's not how you are summarizing it. Just bear with me. I just want to go to the resolution.
Okay. That's why I said I'll go back to the resolution. The fact of the matter is that it was raised and the committee is aware. Okay, they will help me. I hope it will not raise matters arising after 6 months. Okay, honorable member, the meeting stands adjourned.